Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app. The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I want to compliment your show on how fair and level-headed everything you guys talk about.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
Maybe what we need from a conservative standpoint is...
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I respect that. We don't agree.
Listen to both sides.
This...
Let's get it on.
...is the Mark Cox Morning Show. The Mark Cox Shortlist. Brought to you by Eagers Heating and Air Conditioning.
This was an act of terrorism. The evidence shows that the shooter was motivated by jihadist ideology.
Today I'm saying goodbye.
Today I'm suspending my campaign for president.
A Colorado judge has said no to a request under Colorado's new red flag law to take away a man's guns.
I think the president's afraid.
He has remade the economic landscape. His rising tide is lifting all boats.
How about that? It's the truth, though. How about you got to listen to Geraldo every once in a while, right?
He's been very complimentary of the president.
He was wrong about Al Capone's vault, but he is absolutely correct about that. Can I just tell you that? All right. Welcome back into the Mark Cox Morning Show. Glad that you were with us. You heard Chuck Schumer in there. They're getting ready for the impeachment inquiry to move over to the Senate. Apparently, they're discussing that today. What impact is it going to have on the race? We're gonna talk about all that with my friend Chris Arps, who will be in studio here shortly. So stay tuned for that. Plus, he's got a new article in Red State that we're going to talk about. Right now, though, I want to welcome in a new guest to the show. He's Scott Fitzpatrick. He happens to be the Missouri State Treasurer, and in case you didn't know, that is the Chief Financial Officer for the state of Missouri. Mr. Treasurer, welcome into the show.
Hey, thanks, Mark. Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, great to have you on here. And for people maybe in this part of the state who aren't as familiar with you, you were a state representative before becoming treasurer, right?
That is correct. Yeah, I was the budget chairman in the House of Representatives for a little while before being the treasurer.
So do you miss that? Because I was just down there when the legislative session kicked off, and there's lots of talk about the budget right now.
Well, my office is still in the Capitol, so I get to still be around it just from a different point of view. And honestly, it's kind of nice to watch it from the outside for a change. And let somebody else do that part of it. I really like my job in the treasurer's office, and we still get to interact with the folks in the legislature quite a bit on the budget stuff.
Well, sure you do. And I know you played a role in Missouri building up a pretty good budget surplus to begin with. What role does the treasurer's office play now in making sure that bills are paid and money gets returned to people that it's owed to?
Yeah, so we have, primary function in the state treasurer's office is approving all the payments that the state makes and making sure that it's being paid from the appropriate fund. We also invest all the state's cash, and so we are responsible for earning a return. Last year, we made about $83 million in investment earnings on the state's portfolio, which, you know, given what we're allowed to invest in, which is, you know, like U.S. Treasury bonds and bank deposits, things like that. It's tough in a low interest rate environment to make a lot of money, but we've done a pretty good job, I feel like, in the treasurer's office of doing that.
Yeah, that's true. You're a small business owner, right?
I am. Yeah, I own a company that builds marinas around the country. I'm not very involved in the operation anymore, but I do still own the company. It's basically kind of how I got my start and what got me interested in government was the frustrations of dealing with government that I experienced from the view of a business owner.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, I think that's refreshing because we need more of that in government, quite frankly. People that know what it's like to put everything on the line and earn a living, and you have a lot more respect for government overreach at that point.
Yeah, I definitely did. When I was younger and I'm first getting started in business, I had no interest in politics, did not ever anticipate that I would get involved in this part of my life. But experiences have a way of changing your perspective and changing what you want to do about it. And that's basically what happened to me. And I hope there's more people that have that kind of epiphany that I have and that I had and want to take that route as well.
Yeah. So you've been state treasurer now for about a year, right? Took over from Eric Schmidt. Hard to believe it's been a year. What are you most proud of over that period of time?
Yeah, it's been a year exactly today, so I'm happy to start my 1 year anniversary off with you. That's a good way to start it off. Look, we've had a great year. It's hard to point to one thing that we're really proud of, but we run a program called MoAble, which is a savings program. It's pretty new, but it's for people with disabilities. It's a way for them or their families to contribute to an account that is tax-free. They get a tax deduction for their contributions, and it also protects them, those people with disabilities, against asset limits. If they're somebody that wants to try to go work and try to save a little bit of money but can't afford to lose some of their government benefits because of the disability that they have, this is a good account to help give them a hand up. And we grew that program by just going out across the state, finding people who could benefit from it. We grew it by 44% last year in terms of the number of people who are on it, the number of counts. That's something I'm really proud of. We also grew our 529 savings account that we run, which is a college savings program that's been expanded for K-12. We added over 14,000 accounts, and our assets under management grew by 18% in 2019. So we've had good years on that, and we've done a lot of other stuff as well. But I know you probably got a limited amount of time. I want to be respectful of that.
Well, I appreciate that. The other thing that, one thing, the reason the treasurer's office first came to my attention years ago is the fact that you still have the unclaimed property division, right, where people can go check and see if their name's on there. There could be an old account that has some money in it.
We do. We've got over $1 billion of unclaimed property that we hold, and that's another thing we're proud of, the records that we broke on unclaimed property. We returned $1 million in my first 9 days in office, and over $45 million, which is also a record for the fiscal year that ended on June 30th. And the thing is, though, we keep getting more unclaimed property every year. We've got $100 million in new unclaimed property that come in. So the balance of that account is going up, and we really got to work hard and have been working hard to try to get that money back to the people.
Well, it's easy. You go to treasurer.mo.gov, and it's right there on the front page. You just type your last name in, and it'll help you search.
It is. A lot of claims are eligible for a paperless claim, for a paperless claim process. So people, if your Social Security is attached, Social Security number is attached to the account, or if you have the same address, there's a variety of things that will qualify you for a paperless claim. And the average return is $300, but we just made one not too long ago. It was $1 million. So it's just,
wow.
You never know what's going to happen and what you could have sitting there that's yours.
Well, Missouri State Treasurer Scott Fitzpatrick, pleasure having you on, and people can follow your office on Twitter at MO Treasurer, right?
Yep, at MO Treasurer, and follow me at Fitzpatrick MO.
Got it. Scott Fitzpatrick, thanks so much.
Thank you.
You bet. Good to have you on there. For folks that have not heard of Scott, he's from down in the southwest part of the state, but was a state legislator and then got appointed treasurer and, I'm sure run for that office again as well. So good to get him on here. For those of you that aren't familiar with him. Hey, Chris Arps is coming up. Have we heard from Chris? Is he stuck in traffic? Do we know what his excuse is this morning for not being here yet?
We have not heard, so probably stuck in traffic.
Oh, okay, just check. I know he was up early this morning because he was texting us.
That's right, guys. The lawsuit names the city of St. Louis, the police union, and its business manager, Jeff Rorta, as well as a local attorney, Gerard Carmody. He's the special prosecutor leading the charges against a private investigator hired by the circuit attorney. Now, Circuit Attorney Kim Gardner has long been saying she's been treated unfairly. The city's first African-American prosecutor, Gardner, called the lawsuit unprecedented, claiming civil rights violations as well as violations of other federal laws.
Who is the man that would risk his neck for his brother, man?
Chef!
Can you dig it?
Because they're asshats, that's why.
Hey, what's going on, Chris
sir?
Arps? How you doing?
Before we dive into politics, I want to ask you a question.
Uh-oh.
Look, we're about the same age, roughly.
Roughly.
And you're older.
But I have more hair. That's okay.
Yes, much more.
Is it going to be like that today, guys?
Oh, so I remember when Rush came out, 76, 75, how just the kids, the burnouts went crazy over Rush and everything. What's your feelings on
very, very sad. Very sad. Neil Peart was the doctor. My best friend growing up was the drummer in our garage band, and all he idolized Neil Peart, wanted the same drum set that he used. Just the guy was incredible. And how sad, what a loss. I mean, that for the sound that three-man band made, it was incredible. Some of the 12 and 13 minute long songs they put together on 2112, for example, is one of the albums. I loved Rush.
Have you gone to YouTube and watched Neil Peart play Tom Sawyer live?
I have. I did watch that. It was amazing. And
just the talent.
I also watched about a 7-minute clip on his life where he only agreed to go on their last tour if he could ride between stops on his motorcycle. And sometimes it would be 7-8 hour trips on his motorcycle. Of course, in front of him was a $1 million RV with a big trailer in the back to take to store the motorcycles in, but he would follow it, or it would follow him, and he would drive between their sets, I guess.
Well, they said that. Yeah. I was listening to our sister station, and there was an old KC DJ on, and he said that they would drop him off like 100 miles from where the concert was, and he would bike ride.
He would ride in, yeah,
on his bike.
I know.
You know, bicycle. And
no, it was a motorcycle.
Oh, it was a motorcycle.
Motorcycle.
Okay,
yeah, yeah,
a,
yeah.
No,
he would
like,
he would ride
stud,
him, like a big Harley.
Okay,
yeah. It was pretty amazing.
But yes, great talent. All right, let's do it.
Well, now we're out of time.
Oh, no, sorry.
I'm just kidding.
A couple minutes.
Thank you for bringing that up, because I did mention it the other day, but I'm very sad that
Neil Peart. You're probably a Rush guy.
I am, absolutely. Limbaugh, too, for that matter. But anyway, I'm watching. I have to tell you, I'm almost got to make you hit the soapbox button here, but I'm not going to.
Okay.
I'm watching the CBS Morning News today.
Yeah, I saw that.
CBS Morning News sent Jeff Pegues to St. Louis to do a report this morning on this Kim Gardner bullcrap lawsuit that she filed against the city. Completely an attention grabber. It's going to get dismissed. Nonsense lawsuit. And Pegues goes and interviews her like it's the most serious thing he's ever done in his life. And right in the middle of it, with her alleging racism and all these white people out to get her in the city, he brings up Mike Brown and Ferguson, which is not in the city of St. Louis. If I need to remind anybody of that, I think CBS came to do the story just as an excuse to mention Ferguson.
Probably.
It's nonsense.
And I think also part of the reason why he's here and making this a story, the lawsuit is a big story, but the two other African-American female progressive prosecutors are in town, too, to give her support, the one in Chicago and the one in Baltimore. So I think having three, and I think there's four of them actually, four African-American female progressive circuit attorneys in the same city to give her support.
And they've all got
newsworthy,
equally bad records. So yes, why the hell would they all get together to, I mean, any reporter worth their salt would look at the murder rate in Baltimore, the problems they had with the Freddie Gray case, the Jussie Smollett case in Chicago. I mean, you go right down the line. It's embarrassing.
I agree.
Unbelievable.
To those that are angry, hurt, or have their own experiences of injustice at the hands of police officers, I urge you to channel the energy peacefully as we prosecute this case. I have heard your calls for no justice, no peace. However, your peace is sincerely needed as I work to deliver justice on behalf of Freddie Gray. To those,
yeah, so that was Marilyn Mosby, then the circuit attorney up there in Baltimore, telling the crowd, you need to calm down. I'm going to bring justice to Freddie Gray. And need I mention that all six of the officers overcharged in that case walked away. So when I hear somebody run, Chris Arps in the studio with me here, when I hear somebody running on a platform of criminal justice reform, that doesn't mean you get to ignore the laws that are on the books or use prosecutorial discretion to ignore laws that you don't like. That's my problem with Kim Gardner and Marilyn Mosby and these other folks. I mean, she had a responsibility to look at the crime, determine if there was a violation, and prosecute the violation, not make it an angry prosecution because she felt there was some injustice toward one group or another.
And I think when you decriminalize crime, I don't know if you had a chance to watch Tucker Carlson's show last week when he had the special on dystopia of America.
I did not
was,
see
and
that.
And it was San Francisco.
Oh, yeah.
And they were interviewing a police officer, and he was giving they were asking her a series of questions about crimes that they committed. And they were telling them all you would get is a citation. If you broke into a store or you took less than $950, nothing happens. If you mug someone and you use a gun but you don't do it threateningly, you get a citation. I mean, when you decriminalize crime, you have what you have in San Francisco, right. And it's the same thing that you're going to have here. You know, regarding the lawsuit that Kim Gardner filed yesterday, probably the most remarkable thing about that whole news event yesterday was the city of St. Louis putting out a statement saying that we disperse ourselves away from Kim Gardner and they call what she was saying was lies. Just having the city of St. Louis putting out a statement, a press release against the circuit attorney of St. Louis, distancing themselves from them was just almost as remarkable as this lawsuit that she's filed.
Well,
to me.
She had to go back and dig up a law from 1871 that she claims proves that she's being discriminated against because the prosecutor, the special prosecutor assigned to investigate perjury and wrongdoing by her office during the Greitens investigation is white.
Yeah.
Therefore, he can't fairly judge her because he's white?
Yeah. You know, before we went to break, Denise is trying to take my job here as the political analyst that said that part of this was because of the deposition tomorrow, which I think that is part of it, trying
sure
to deflect from that. But I think this shows that the sands of the hourglass of the Kim Gardner regime is coming to an end. I think she knows that. Mm-hmm. And so to preempt all of this, she's filing a lawsuit saying all of this is racist, blah, blah. So when they do remove her, whenever that is, this lawsuit is already pre-filed to set in people's minds, hey, this is just a witch hunt. They're out to get me.
And she's got her sycophants in the mainstream media playing right along with her. Jeff Pegues interviewed her like this is the most serious story he's ever heard in his life. Instead of calling up somebody locally here in town and saying, is there anything to this? And they would have said, No, you need to understand what's going on here, Jeff.
Yeah, Jeff.
She's a former politician from Jeff City who ran for this office, was completely unprepared to be the prosecutor, and lets the police bring her drug cases and shootings, and she comments on them inappropriately and doesn't prosecute half of them, and she has no business being a circuit attorney.
Yeah, the real story for Jeff was New Year's Day in St. Louis. 2 days, we had 7 people that were murdered, and our circuit attorney has a 7% conviction rate, and it apparently looks like the circuit attorney's office is at war with the mayor's office and the police department.
Right, who are trying to distance themselves from her. She's supposed to be the chief law enforcement officer in town, right?
Yes, and the city government is distancing
wants nothing to do.
Amazing.
You know, I saw where our friend Jane Duker, who's an attorney, mm-hmm. she sometimes acts as a spokesperson for the Police Officers Association, so you know that going in. She commented on Facebook that this was a joke, and she's got a lot of problems with the way Kim Gardner's handled this, in part because of her interactions with the St. Louis police. She's a Democrat. Even though she and I agree on a lot of these police issues, mm-hmm. Jane Duker's a Democrat. And I've had other Democrats, Jane Duker happens to be a white Democrat. I've had other Democrats who are black Democrats who've expressed off microphone the same concerns about Kim Gardner that I'm hearing from Jane Duker. They don't want to come out and say it, but she must not have much support at all among elected officials in the city of St. Louis.
If she doesn't, and I think what appalls Jane Duker even more is Jane Duker is also an attorney, and I think she sees a fellow attorney not following the law, flouting the law, officer of the court, and that really is a black mark on their profession. I think that insults Jane, not to put words in her mouth. But
no. Well, I mean, we worried about the same problem in the county with Wesley Bell. I'm just so disappointed that in the interview with Kim Gardner about how she's being treated in the city, mm-hmm. they had to bring up the Mike Brown murder in Ferguson from 4 years ago. That had nothing to do with Kim Gardner, except the criminal justice reform movement in many ways was kind of born out of that here locally, right?
And I tell you, Mark, I'm worried, you know, with this lawsuit that she's filed, this is going to get, you know, more and more worse for Kim Gardner. I think her time as circuit attorney is just about over. I worry when it starts warming up that we're going to have people fomenting that the first female African-American attorney was drummed out of office, and we may have some civil unrest.
Interesting.
Not that I'm...
No. Speaking of civil unrest, did you see where Bruce Franks got nominated for an Oscar?
Yeah.
Not Bruce personally.
Yeah. Right.
The documentary, the short documentary that was done on his rise from... he was a musician, right? And then he became an activist in Ferguson. Then he got elected to the state house.
Yes.
Yeah. These rappers today, I don't call them musicians.
Didn't he?
My day, they were musicians.
I think his name was Oops.
I don't know.
His name was Oops.
No, it wasn't.
I hope I made that up.
I hope you didn't.
Yeah, I never heard that one. And you know what, Mark? He's probably going, I bet you the documentary wins. Just fits their whole narrative.
It does fit their narrative. Yeah, I don't know what his competition is, but. Superman?
Yes, he did. He performed as rapper under the name of OOOPS. Oh, okay. That's Oops.
That's Oops.
No, that's Oops. You had to pronounce all the O's. Come on.
Yep, that's what he went by when he was
rapping.
What
was his favorite? Do you listen to any of it? Have you ever listened to any of it?
No. Bruce Franks is considerably younger than I am. So, I don't think we run in the same musical circles.
Apparently, he's trying to get back into music now.
His new profession is now, because I'm connected with him on Twitter and Facebook, he is a battle rapper. And people go around in different cities and you battle rap someone and there's prizes and everything.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's kind of like you ever heard of the game
Wikipedia just told me the same thing. He's a battle rapper.
Yeah, battle. Do you know what, you ever heard of the African-American game called Playing the Dozens where you like insult each other?
Yeah, I've seen some
videos. Battle rap is that times 20 with three X's on the end of it. It's just obscene. I don't see any redeeming value in it. I've watched the videos of them doing it, and I just don't see any redeeming value in it.
That's what Eminem did, right, in 8 Mile.
Rap battles, thing.
It's N-word this, N-word that. They're all up in each other's faces, spitting and insulting each other, you know, practically spitting in their face.
And people come out to watch?
Yeah, people come out to watch that. So
we've come full Chris circle Arch from Neil Peart and Rush to battle. Yeah, to battle rapping.
You know what? I'm just beginning to feel like I sound like that old man when we were kids and everything was going to hell. And what happened in my day? Are we there?
My great uncle went to his grave convinced that the Beatles brought drugs to this country. So you're right. We might be that old man now. We very well could.
Have you told anybody to get off your lawn yet?
I have not. Oh, okay. No, my lawn is not pristine enough to worry about that.
I raise
kids, not grass. I don't worry about that. That's
you come
good.
Up with that? That's good.
Thank you.
I raise kids, not grass.
That's right.
Did you come up with that?
I don't know if I came up with it or not, but it makes sense.
Let's not give him too much.
I thought it was witty.
Thank you.
Very witty.
I appreciate that, Chris. Yeah. What a guy. Yeah. You're fantastic, man.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome
just
back
love
anytime.
Fest here.
It is.
All right. I guess we should get to a break here, right?
Sure.
R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
That's all I want.
Hey, who won the signed photographs?
Mike from Weldon Spring and Colton from St. Louis won the Todd Pyro autographed headshots.
One of them wanted a mustache drawn on, which I did.
Can I get one?
Sure.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, we'll fix you right up. All right. Hey, just a reminder here, there is a Sporting Clay event coming up if you enjoy that sort of thing. And it's always a great time. This is the 5th annual Jeff Hansen Memorial Foundation. They raise money for a great cause every year. And if you want to find out more, you can go to jeffhansenmf@gmail.com. That's the Jeff Hansen Memorial Foundation. Jeff Hansen, MF@gmail.com. And you can email them for more details on it. It's coming up January 25th out at the Black Hawk Valley Hunting Preserve in Old Monroe. It's going to be a great time. So check that out. Be fun. I'm hoping to get out there myself. So we're back.
Yeah.
Did you hear about the Supreme Court, Chris Arps?
Was it Wisconsin?
No. I'm hoping Tricia can enlighten us on this, but I was really hoping they would come through for the guys, but they failed us in this particular case.
Failed me too, honestly.
I'm telling you.
Chris, in case you were unaware, the U.S. Supreme Court refuses to, quote, free the nipple in topless woman case.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I missed that one.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
That and all the Vince Vaughn movies.
And all the Vince Vaughn movies. Wow, that sounds like a very intriguing case.
Yeah, New Hampshire's top court upholding the woman's conviction for violating an ordinance that makes it illegal to show female breasts in public.
Mm.
They said that that was sexist, essentially, three women, and the court said... The traditional understanding of what constitutes nudity stands, and they're to pay their fine.
So, can we get your expert opinions on this?
Trisha and I disagree. I think I'm glad.
Yeah,
I disagree. I think that women should be able to show their breasts in public.
I don't think anybody should be. Yeah. I don't think men should be walking around with shirts off either.
If that were the rule, if it were neither men nor women were to show nipples in public, I would. Be on board with that, but I don't think it's. I think that there's something fundamentally sexist about the fact that women are supposed to cover their tops up and men are not.
So you think it's
and I don't.
So you think it's cool if you're like little 3-year-old nephew and you're at the mall and here's a woman with big pajamas walking around. That's okay for him.
Well, my
to
problem
see that.
Is also when I think about thinking about my 14-year-old walking around somewhere without a top on. I and people looking at her. I don't. It makes me very uncomfortable.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's okay to sexualize children, obviously.
Right. I'm obviously not implying that you do. I just think that allowing it brings in a lot of more issues than just going ahead and staying covered.
Yeah, and I just think that the fundamental principle of it not being societally acceptable is inherently sexist, and we probably can't go back and change it now, but I think that it was a
A woman's chest does things different than a man's chest.
I just see them differently.
And I'm not talking about sexually.
Yeah.
I'm talking about functionally.
Yeah.
So I just think that there's a difference, and I'm okay with them keeping them covered.
Viva
except for, like, go to
difference.
A new beach.
That's where I was going. I think
or
that,
do it in the privacy of your backyard or something. I don't care. I just think the whole, if everyone just started walking around with other tops on, I don't know. It just
on a side note, Tricia has a backyard now, so you better stay away.
Okay.
Privacy fence.
There's a real line here, Mark. Be careful. No, if the mall says you have to have a shirt on, men or women, you have to have a shirt on.
Right. Right.
Right.
If
the mall doesn't say you have to wear a shirt, I don't think that should only be men.
But then you're going to have the lawsuit when the mall says you have to put a shirt on, and someone's going to say, well, the Supreme Court says I don't have to. They're going to sue, and they're going to say, well, the law supersedes what your mall rule is.
No, I don't think that a law should, just like if your work says you can't smoke pot, even though the state of Illinois says you can smoke pot. You can be fired for smoking pot. I think that if a business says no shoes, no shirt, no service, I just think that should be applicable to men and women.
Right.
I think that generally is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. Mm. That's why I think that there's a double standard when it comes to the law of fining women.
Because I think most men would have no problem with women going around. The younger men wouldn't have any problem with that.
We went to Mexico, when my son was probably about 5 years old, 4 or 5 years old. And we, of course, all the beaches down, a lot of Europeans come down. All the beaches are top optional, right? Yeah. My wife and I were sitting there in our lawn chairs, we're watching the kids play in the ocean. And I got up to get a drink or something. And I noticed the chair behind us, the lady had no top on, right? And I sat back down and told my wife, I'm like, I wonder if Bradley's noticed this yet, right? He's 5 years old. And he comes running up the beach and we're like, Brad, come here. Because he was oblivious. We don't have our watch with us. Go ask that lady back there what time it is.
Oh, that's
stop
cruel.
It.
Kid walks back slack-jawed. She doesn't have a shirt on, he said. He was shocked.
That's a good story to end the show.
I'm telling you. Love it.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.